Today on Dog Pound Report, we break down the Browns and Bills in the second preseason game, talk about the last week of training camp, and look ahead to the Battle of the Bay down in Tampa Bay against the Bucs. This is Dog Pound Report.
Day out here in Berea. We are halfway through the preseason as the Browns start circling their schedule for a cut day that's coming up at the beginning of the month. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Dog Pound Report. Gorgeous afternoon here. We're going to take you through everything you need to know about the Browns as we look ahead towards a date with Tampa Bay next Saturday. We bring in the experts on this show, the Dog Pound Report. Of course, it's Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm. Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
Always good to be with you as well. One point of business really early on, Nate Orchard, a lot of reports about him not being at practice today. I can tell you it is not injury-related, and Mike Pettine will update on the specifics in his press conference.
All right, and if Mike Pettine should talk during this next half hour, we'll take that press conference live. Boys, we weird game on Thursday night, 11-10. Did you ever play in an 11-10 game?
I didn't. It was like we talked about on the radio. It was like a high-scoring baseball game that you wanted to be tuned into. But I hope Coach Pettine and these guys don't really take into effect what the ending score was. You would have loved to win a football game because winning is winning, and it creates a culture. But I thought there's a lot of good, just as Mike Pettine said, and a lot of bad, but great teaching tape for this football team.
All right, let's go through this game from your perspective.
Listen, I thought that they came out, they got the ground game going a little bit, not still where we want it to be, but Terrence West had more yards rushing than he had yards after contact, so that was a positive thing. So I like that. I thought the defense played well. Bend but don't break. It's tough when you don't have your secondary out there, and I think we saw that a lot of third down conversions. Now, to be fair, a couple of them were on Tremont Williams, but I think when you get those guys out there, that's going to help. And I know that, you know, Buffalo didn't have their playmakers, but at the end of the day, for everybody saying, oh, they moved up and down the field on our starting defense, they scored 3 points in the first half. I know they missed a field goal, but no touchdowns, didn't sniff the end zone. So I thought overall, solid defensively, especially up front, and that's what we started to see in Buffalo.
What was your big takeaway?
My big takeaway was, again, only the quarterback runs. Tyrod Taylor, I think 4 rushes for 41 yards, hurt our defense. When you really do, crunch the numbers, defensively, you have to be happy. And that was something that we saw, both days up in Rochester at practice, was our ability to stop the run. LeSean McCoy, of course, did not partake in the Thursday game, but when he was at practice, we kept him at bay. Yep. We contained that run. And Shady McCoy is going to be one of the most, elusive running backs in all of football. So if we can contain him, we can contain anyone.
All right, it was an exciting day, I think, for the fans as well. And Shane Wynn, obviously from Glenville High School, was the only guy to make it into the end zone. Here's what he had to say after the game.
I mean, I'm the jokester around the building, and I'm always smiling. My coaches always be like, "What's so funny?" And I'm just smiling, enjoying life. Playing for your hometown when you're from here is, a heck of a deal. Not too many people get to do that.
All right, so Shane gets into the end zone, and I got to ask you, did you ever dream? I know you never played here, but what do you think it would be like to be from Northeast Ohio to walk on the field and then even get in the end zone?
I think it would have been great. Towards the end of my career, I loved playing in San Diego. How can you not? Very successful teams. Didn't, of course, end up winning a Super Bowl, but many playoff appearances. But to come back to Cleveland at that point would have been great. But I think for Shane Wynn, what's going to be so special is he has the potential to start his career here in Cleveland. So he bridges that gap from leaving the state, going to Indiana, doing what he did there, being a great receiver, but coming back and have an opportunity to play in front of his friends and family. It's going to be great. He'll just have a tough time getting them tickets each and every Sunday.
Yeah.
That was a play that should get everybody who's a Browns fan excited for a couple of reasons. First of all, you have the hometown story, which is great. And Shane Wynn told me after the game, he said, as soon as the play was called, I got giddy. We ran that in practice. It was a wheel route for him out of the slot, and Johnny hit him for a touchdown. But what I really liked about that play and what showed really the development of Johnny Manziel, gets to the top of his drop, climbs the pocket, which he did not do at all last year, climbs the pocket, keeps his eyes downfield instead of taking off to run, finds Shane Wynn, delivers an accurate ball. I thought that was the kind of play that said this guy can play quarterback in the NFL from the pocket. You got to be able to climb the pocket. Your guy, Philip Rivers, does it as well as anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, he really does. And I think, for Shane Wynn, he is now a guy where Josh Lenz might have been, the name we were talking about coming out of the Orange and Brown scrimmage. Wynn is the guy we're talking about right now that potentially, make the practice squad, if not partake in that 7 or 8 wide receivers that might make this team.
You look at that group, right, that trio. It's Jarius Jennings, it's Shane Wynn, and it's Lenz. Lenz was probably clearly ahead. Now I think Jennings and Wynn are both ahead of Lenz. Jennings, again, led the team in receiving, 2 catches, 40 yards. But what I loved about Wynn is how much this team likes this kid. Joe Hayden was on the sidelines literally dancing out of his mind on the kick return, because not only did he have the touchdown, he had that electrifying kick return. He came back, of course, due to penalty. But they like it. You can tell these guys love each other.
All right, I want to talk about this just for a second. Your thoughts on Manziel, because you touched on it a little bit, and I think it was a lot of buzz about Johnny the next day. And, you know, there's a realistic way to look at it when you're going up against twos or threes, but he does look like a different quarterback this year, doesn't he?
He definitely does. He looks like a better teammate, a better leader. He looks like a football player now. He looks like the quarterback of a professional football team. And in this case, it's the backup quarterback to Josh McCown. I still don't believe there's any competition with Josh McCown. He'll be our opening day starter. But we have a legitimate backup that if something were to happen to Josh McCown, what we're seeing from Johnny Manziel is there's not going to be some significant drop-off like we might have thought coming into this offseason.
It's great. And I'd say last year you would describe Johnny Manziel as frenetic, chaos, did not look comfortable. Now he looks calm. It seems like the game has slowed down. He's being decisive with the football, stepping into it. His footwork is much better. So you're seeing all the things you need to see for Johnny to be successful. I agree with you 100%. Josh McCown is the starting quarterback of this team, and I know he threw those interceptions, but other than that, he was 7 of 8. One of them I thought was a huge mental mistake. You don't throw jump balls to Andrew Hawkins. I love Hawk, but that's not who you're throwing jump balls. It's no longer Vince Jackson and Mike
that's
Evans running down
your receiver, though, is
right.
it? That's just,
yeah.
that's just, I haven't played with this guy that
sure.
much.
Sure.
Yeah. And he's used to playing with 6'5" receivers. He likes throwing the jump ball.
All right, we talked about this at length last week, the running game. The running game to me seemed improved, but the question is, was it the running game that was improved? Was it the offensive line that was improved? Maybe a little bit of different play calling.
I think the running game is predicated on the offensive line, and I thought they established themselves, and I thought the 4th-and-1 where they got the surge,
yes.
Terrence West, that was big, showed some physicality. As I said, West had more yards than yards after contact, which was good, but that second team offensive line, Isaiah Crowell, that was a jailbreak. That can't happen. They still got to find a way to consistently get push.
They do, and I thought it was a combination of both. I thought the running backs were a little more decisive in their reads,
yep.
and what we talked about this past week on the radio was, I thought our offensive line, in some cases on that zones game, goes lateral, but I thought in this Bills game, we got lateral and then vertical, which creates those seams, and I love seeing those chunk runs out of West and Crowell. You know, yeah, you're going to get 4 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard, but then a 12-yard burst or a 14-yard burst, and that is what I hang my hat on that's going to make us such a great run team this year.
But I love the stiff arm.
Yeah, I love the stiff arm. Well, and that's what I think we're looking for when the season starts. Because, again, when you watch preseason, I think you're just watching all this little bit of development here, development there. And then, you know, like when the first week, it's like the light bulb goes on,
yep.
and things start to change.
Let's go.
All right, we've got more Dog Pound Report coming your way. Gorgeous day again here in Berea. When we come back, we're going to break down the defense. We're going to talk a little bit about what they were able to accomplish. And how about that sack attack against the Bills? All straight ahead on Dog Pound Report, live from Berea. Guys getting after it a little bit of practice here today. Kind of an exciting day. Maybe they're amping up just a little bit as we get set towards getting towards the regular season. I should say we're halfway through the preseason. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. He's Nathan Zagura. He's Matt Wilhelm. I'm Andy Baskin. And I want to talk about that. You know, how do you approach camp and kind of ramp it up a little bit? Because you're not going to – I'm not saying you're not going full go. You should be going full
sure.
go. But there's a level of intensity that starts to pick up as you know your job's a little bit on the line and you're trying to get towards the regular season.
There definitely is. And I think, you know, today, tomorrow, they're going to be the dog days of camp. You've played 2 preseason games. You've gone 100%. Some guys have played significant reps in those games. So they're feeling the effects of being sore from a game. And then they get a day off. And then they're out here in pads again, continuing to prove and to improve and prove to these coaches they deserve to make this football team. And so... It's going to be very tough for a lot of these guys to understand what it takes to make an NFL football team and what the new CBA has allowed. I think it's discounted some of these guys' opportunity to make this team and to show their physicality because it's, you know, in small little snippets, and then they have to be next to perfect in these preseason games, and that's all they have to evaluate. I love being in pads a lot. I know, you know, it stinks when you're in it. But when you're outside looking in, you want these guys in pads. You want it to feel like football out here on the practice field. I know those coaches feel the same way.
What are you seeing? I mean, are you seeing this thing pick up a little bit in intensity?
It's got to. And I think tomorrow you're going to have an intense practice. You get a day off, and then it's going to be kind of like a regular game week for
yeah.
once. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, travel, and go down there and play the game. I know the game's Saturday instead of Sunday, but it's going to be closer to that kind of feel. This is the ramp-up. For a lot of the
yes.
starters, this is the last they're going to play in the preseason. So you want to come out, have a good showing. This is your kind of final dress rehearsal. Then kind of chill, get yourself ready to go week one against the Jets.
All right, let's talk about one of those starters right now, because Paul Kruger, the sack attack has looked good. I mean, over the last 2 games, but Kruger, to me, seems like he's in midseason form right now, the way he's been able to attack the offense and the way he looks in these games.
Yeah, he did a great job. One on the sack. He stayed home, bided his time, got in there, got the sack. And then on the reverse, I think they were trying to take advantage of the fact he likes to peek inside. They run the reverse. He stayed home, got up the field, 8-yard loss. So I thought it was good. And we talked about the point of emphasis in Rochester, setting the edge. And other than one play when Scott Solomon got caught on the read option, they really set the edge and funneled everything into the interior. And I thought he did a very good job of that.
I did too. What I love about what I've seen of Paul Kruger thus far is he's evolving as a linebacker. Last year, you know, statistically, I think he rushed the passer, you know, 90%+ almost every single play. Now you see him dropping into coverage in different zone blitzes, having to make almost make that tackle, force a guy out of bounds there in the flat. I love that about him. And when we had him up on CBD, he talked about growing into a role and knowing more and understanding more. And that evolution for him personally will allow guys like Nate Orchard, Barkevious Mingo, Scott Solomon to be efficient opposite him at outside linebacker.
And it also seems, I mean, you go back and think about, okay, he was at Baltimore, then he's in, now he got a second year with the coach. I mean, I think he's more comfortable.
I do too. Yeah. I do too.
All right, let's keep talking about the sack attack that I love talking about. Xavier Cooper, man, what a game he had the other night. We'll do a little X dance or whatever you want to talk about it, but he's fun, he's exciting, and he's a guy you want to watch.
It's part of the waves of this defensive line, and you see the depth, and I thought when that second team front went out there, they were dominant, and what I loved is that they got pressure without blitzes. They were just getting after it. They said when they drafted Cooper, he had the fastest first step of any D lineman in school, and you see that on tape. Now, a second sack was as easy as it gets. They didn't block him. He went in there and got a sack, but he's now got a sack in both of the games. He looks good, and I like the energy he brings.
Absolutely. You know, and I've talked, you know, at length about what Danny Shelton means to this defense, and you have to understand, we've talked about Nate Orchard, or we will even later in this show, and you talk about Xavier Cooper. Those are the three guys that we need to play their best football for the Cleveland Browns, and why we used a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick to get these guys.
Are you surprised by Danny Shelton, how quick he's been able to pick it up? It doesn't, like, a lot of times you see a rookie and everything just kind of seems bigger than life. It doesn't for him.
Not in his world. Not in his world. I mean, he lives in a 3x3-foot square box that he needs to dominate in. And at times, as we saw down at the Orange and Brown scrimmage, he makes his way out of it and still makes impactful plays. But I thought it's an easy role for him. They're not asking him to do too much, but taking two guys and maintaining gap integrity. When he does that, everyone around him can play cleaner, can play faster, and be a playmaker.
As Jim O'Neill says, he changes the math. And listen, the guy is a monster. You don't have to train to be a monster. He just is a monster. He's a specimen. And listen, two games in a row. Last week it was 2 yards a carry between the tackles. This week, 9 carries, 15 yards between the tackles for the Bills. He is changing the way teams are going to run on us. Last year they got 5 yards a carry up the middle. This is a big difference, and I'm not surprised with Shelton.
I'm going to stick on defense. Armani Bryant, just your thoughts on him, because we've been talking about him off camera, and he's having a spell.
Oh, it's great to see Armani Bryant and Nate Orchard out there together, both of them in the backfield constantly. Lots of hits, lots of hurries. And if you have those guys coming in waves off the edge, I think it's going to be very good for this defense.
I do, too. And I think what I love about Nate Orchard, Armani Bryant, Desmond Bryant, you know, John Hughes, the activity level that they play with. They don't just engage and stand up and get blocked. They're active with their hands. We saw Armani Bryant in the Bills game just being active around the football. That's what you want out of the defensive line. And when they're around the ball, you know your linebackers are scraping clean sometimes.
If this front can generate pressure without exotic blitzes, this defense is going to be very good.
Well, it's fun. It's been fun the last two games, and you saw the improvement in this last game against Buffalo. Matt, thank you very much. We're going to let you go. We'll listen to you on Cleveland Browns Daily every day. All right, we've got more coming up. We're going to bring in the Gribbs. Andrew Gribble is going to break some things down, and if Mike Pettine hits the podium before the top of the hour, you will hear it here on News Channel 5 and Dog Pound Report.
Offense got it.
Practice wrapping up out here in Berea. If Mike Pettine hits the podium, you'll hear it here on News Channel 5. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. We bring in Andrew Gribble from ClevelandBrowns.com. Grib, just real quick, what's going on today? What have we seen as they wrap up practice?
Well, it's just kind of a more physical, more normal-looking practice. You know, yesterday was really your standard post-game walkthrough, even though you had a day off the day before. Really kind of slow-moving, nothing full speed. Today's been a lot of full speed. We've seen a lot of passes completed down the field. We've seen some more guys getting back at it. Duke Johnson, Dwayne Bowe, Pierre Desir. They're getting back in the physical kind of practice, which is good to see going into a big game Saturday.
And the offense is going to have the camo jerseys. Nice little hush down from McCown to Andrew Hawkins.
So that'll give them. So let's, you talk about Hawkins for a second. Let's talk about the wide receivers for a minute. You've been harping on this for a while. We could see 8 wide receivers. Marlon Moore yesterday, you know, Mike Pettine had said, look, it looks pretty good for him. So can they keep 8 wide receivers? And I'll ask you the magic question about Terrell Pryor.
We'll find out if Terrell Pryor does make it. I think 8 is the number. But when they traded for Andy Lee, I thought Marlon Moore was on this team. Travis Benjamin has played his way onto this team. So you've got Bowe, Hartline, Hawkins, Gabriel, Benjamin, Marlon Moore. That's 6. You'd like to think Vince Mealy, although his hands look a little bit suspect, would make this team as a 4th-round pick. So that's 7. And then if Terrell Pryor makes it, that would be 8 wide receivers out of 53.
And the thing to consider is the 3 guys you're leaving out there, Shane Wynn, Josh Lenz, Darius Jennings, all they're doing is making plays out there. I thought Darius Jennings was fantastic in the first game, made a big catch down the field and was good on a kickoff. Shane Wynn obviously had a big touchdown catch and then the punt return. I mean, all these guys are showing that they are worth a spot on the roster, and this is kind of the depth of this group. Not a lot of standout guys, not that number one wide receiver, but they're getting production from every single guy in that room right now.
Where are we with Terrell Pryor right now? Because yesterday it seems like, again, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but you can't make the club from the tub.
No, he's got to get out there. He's got to play. At some point, you know, why I think maybe it's not as big of a deal with him is if they were deciding to keep him, I think he'd be on the 53, but not up for a while he learned his craft. So the timeline's not as accelerated for him to prove that he's ready to play week one. But again, it changes the numbers, especially once you've got Marlon Moore and Batamosi on there. So that really gives you 5 specialists out of 53. So you only have 48 guys to play with on the offense and defense there. So if he's going to make it, it's really because they believe he can develop into something special.
And this was a challenging move to make if he wasn't missing any practices. I think that it's the adjustment from quarterback to wide receiver is no joke. I think we saw him Monday at practice in Buffalo. He struggled a little bit of going against these Buffalo defensive backs that I think they looked at number 87 and they're like, I want to make a play against that guy. Sure. He's getting all the attention. So then he comes back on Tuesday. He's not out there. So I think you would like to see him back tomorrow's practice because it's going to be a good physical practice, one that he can work at. But then you're off Tuesday and then you start in game preparation on Wednesday. So it's just getting tougher and tougher. And as Mike Pettine said, the window gets narrower and narrower every single day.
But going back to that Buffalo practice, how much of that is rust for him? Because he hadn't practiced in a while. And then also giving Buffalo's defense a little bit of credit.
Well, I mean, we were both impressed by Buffalo's defense, especially the defensive line. And that the defensive backs out there for that first one-on-one drill we saw Monday, they were really getting after it. They were talking a lot of smack. I mean, they were really into it. They got the best of Cleveland's wide receivers on the first day. And you could see some frustration out of Terrell Pryor during those drills. But it wasn't just him. It was a lot of guys getting frustrated against those guys.
Nathan, a big week for Duke Johnson. I mean, he's back out on the field today. Back out yesterday. What does he need to do?
Yeah, he needs to stay healthy. He already looks good, had a flexed out wide, put a shake, got wide open. He is a unique talent and brings something completely different than the other backs to this team. He's just got to stay healthy, and he will make plays.
The key thing with him is he already came in with kind of an advanced knowledge of pro-style offenses, ran that at Miami, so that Mike Pettine said he's already ahead of the curve in that aspect. He's confident that he stayed in his playbook and he's ready to go. I think just from the coaching angle, though, you want to see what you really have in this guy and what you can maybe do with him early and often against New York Jets on September 13th.
Dwayne Bowe also back. I thought it was interesting that, you know, I never realized that he'd never missed a practice before. Talking about training camp, that's what I thought he said. I mean, now he's back and it's another weapon, especially if you're, a quarterback sitting out there. All right, at least I can throw to Dwayne Bowe too.
And he looked good out there. Wasn't in the team drills today, but was out there running around looking good. And as he said, the talent's going to speak for itself. He's going to come back and his talent's going to take care of business. So good to see him back out there because he does bring a unique skill set amongst these wide receivers.
And I think it's important for him to be out there because we've already talked about the chemistry we've seen between Josh McCown, Brian Hartline. You want to see Josh McCown, Dwayne Bowe get on the same page. The good thing with Dwayne Bowe is the practices he's been out here, I think he's been pretty impressive. So you get him more and more into game shape. But he's a guy that, as he talked yesterday, he wants to be ready for September 13th. That's his only goal. It'd be nice to play in the preseason, but his main goal is regular season.
Gribbs, what are you looking for this Saturday down in Tampa? What battles are there that can be won and say, I can get this job if I play well on Saturday?
I think the tight end position continues to remain intriguing because you saw Rob Hauser step up in the second game after kind of a quiet camp. But E.J. Bibbs continues to make plays, continues to do that. If you're looking for, if you're saying it's one spot between those two guys, that's as tight of a competition in camp right now, I think.
But it should be noted that when Barnage went out, it was Hausler who went in. Bibbs didn't come in really in the first half at all. It was Hauser. He had his best showing so far, and that was good to see. But Bibbs, I love me some Bibbs, man. Great after the catch. He came back and caught the one on the penalty where the lineman was too far down the field. That was a tough catch in a pressure situation. I like Bibbs quite a bit.
All right, Andrew, you're going to join us a little bit more here. We're going to talk more about this game coming up Saturday in Tampa and Mike Pettine getting set to step to the podium. If it happens before the top of the hour, we'll dip in on that and hear what he has to say about today's practice. You're watching Dog Pound Report on News Channel 5 live from Berea. Oh, Mike Pettine has stepped up to the podium here on Dog Pound Report. Let's listen in.
Standpoint, which then lends itself to a possible mismatch when you use Duke as a wideout. You can react to what a defense puts out there and call your play accordingly. So that's something I'm sure we'll use.
Hey, Mike, you've had obviously the injuries in the secondary talk so much. What have you seen from Campbell? Has he taken advantage of his opportunities? How's this with Campbell?
He has. He's done a real nice job. He was one player I would put in that category of when you see him in shorts, maybe it's not that impressive, but when the pads are on and it's live action, that he really shows up. I mean, he's made some big hits in games and done a real nice job with his physicality overall, and he's doing a good job mastering the book. I mean, he's Northwestern guy, so we tell him not to overthink it too many times, but. He's been very much a professional so far as a rookie.
It looked like Duke Johnson got a regular load today. Was he on a pitch count?
He was on a count. That's what we the last stretch of practice we didn't use him, and then on the last play Flip wanted to use him, and I used executive veto power and pulled Duke out of the huddle because he had sat for a little bit too long. So, but he was right at his number.
It seemed like he got a little bit of everything, caught a couple of passes, had a couple of carries, and then he's inside the drill. Make any observations?
All right, your chance to listen in on Mike Pettine's press conference. We'll have more coverage, of course, on the mobile app on ClevelandBrowns.com, and you can also see some stuff on News Channel 5 as well, NewsNet 5, so all over the place, especially if you want more of the press conference. Let's look ahead to this week's game. What are you looking forward to on Saturday night?
It's going to be a good test for our secondary. They've got Mike Evans. They've got Vincent Jackson, big physical wide receivers who gave us some problems last year, so I'm eager to see that. It's good that Pierre Desir's back because I think he's a good matchup and he will show these are the kind of guys that I can play against in the NFL. When you got Martavis Bryant in your division, that's a good thing. And then again, I want to see us run the football, get some push with that offensive line. And by the way, give Josh McCown some time. The line has not been as good as I'd like it to be.
Yeah, my focus is completely on the running game. I thought Buffalo was one of the toughest tests they'll face all season. Now you're maybe going down a level with the Tampa Bay team to really see what you have in this running game. Terrence West got off to a good start. I like to see more of Isaiah Crowell and especially Duke Johnson.
All right, thanks for watching. We'll see you in Tampa next Saturday night. Thank you for coming into the Dog Pound Report. Take us home.
Don't forget, we bark together on the Dog Pound Report. Have a great day, Cleveland.